My privilege to welcome you aboard the Freedom Time News Hour's maiden voyage here at Republic Broadcasting. It's great to have your company. I'm excited to introduce you to the captain of the ship, the editor and publisher of the superb monthly nationwide newspaper, the Freedom Times. And also, he has an excellent news aggregate site, AmericanFreedomNews.us, where I'm able to stay up to date on what's going on in this clown world. Mr. Don Wassell is the unsung hero of the freedom movement who began publishing way back in 1985. He actually began his career as an attorney, but let's not hold that against him. He won his first case with an epic David against Goliath battle, but that's a story for another time. Don's a great antidote to the narrative managers. Don, let's go. Say hello to our new friends here at RBN.
Hey, Patricia. Could just now hear the last sentence you said there, but I heard
enough. You didn't hear
I'm
me.
On with you.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Listen, I want to give you the quote of the day, all right, boss?
As long as there's no obscenities in it.
There isn't. Says, I got this from Mr. Stuart Reeves. He says it's the definition of political correctness. It's a doctrine fostered by delusional, illogical minority and rapidly promoted by an unscrupulous mainstream media, which holds forth the proposition that it is entirely possible to pick up a turd by the clean end.
You mean that's not possible?
Well, you know, not out here in the Diamond Valley, it's not. So maybe back there in Pennsylvania where you live, but not out here.
Well, I thought where you are, you know, maybe they turned into cow chips a little quicker than here, you know.
So, maybe.
No, that's a good quote. Maybe. It might be a little long for the average American's comprehension span, but yeah, that says it pretty well.
Yeah, well, yeah, thanks, Stu, for that. And so, Don, catch me up here. You know, you were the first person I met when I moved to Las Vegas, the person that invited me to Las Vegas. You're the first person he introduced me to. So you've been doing the Freedom Times, and before that, the Nationalist Times, for a long time. What possessed you?
Possessed? That's an interesting word. Maybe that's a good one, actually, to keep banging my head against the wall all these years. Really, it's all the same publication. It goes back to 1985. It started off, it was called the Populist Observer then. It was the monthly newsletter for a state affiliate of the Populist Party, which was a national political party that started in the mid-1980s. And very quickly it became the national voice of the Populist Party, I think in 1986 or 87. And, I've been doing it ever since. So I'm only 49 now, so I guess I was like 13 or something when I started it. But
I thought you were five. I thought you were five when you started that.
Yeah. Well, something like that, you know.
Yeah, right.
the years go by quickly. But it's always been a labor of love. It's always been on a shoestring budget, which is something I don't wish wasn't the case. But by the same token, it's managed to survive all these years. There's always been enough people who have supported it financially as best they could, modestly, because that's the kind of people that read it. We don't have any oligarchs or billionaires, so we do the best we can. It started in 1985. Here we are in 2023. It's still going. I think it's better than ever, actually. And the fact is there's only, I would say, three patriotic newspapers left in this country of any substance. American Free Press, The Sovereign, and the Freedom Times. So that tells you that this is something that is not thriving for a number of reasons, because people don't read newspapers like they used to. Anybody that has a print publication knows it's difficult. But if you have a patriotic one, it's even more difficult. There's a lot of things that are working against us that have always worked against us, even as before the Internet came along. We couldn't rent mailing lists for in most cases, we couldn't advertise in any other publications other than other patriotic ones. We were just marginalized, much the way the Internet marginalizes people like us now. So search engines ignore the Freedom Times and the American Freedom Union, which is the membership organization that publishes it. And so it's really tough going. And that's one reason we started this show, the Freedom Times News Hour, is to help promote the Freedom Times. Not because I want any glory or anything like that. I'm always low-key, low-profile. It's not about me. It's about the fact is the Freedom Times has a great message. It's more timely than ever, and we need more people reading it, even as a lot of people are now on the Internet. You really need both. You can't just rely on the Internet completely. That could be shut down deliberately or through an accident or an attack or whatever. And if that happens, then what do you have? So it's always good to have print publications. It's always good. And so we've got a great one, and we're hoping that this show will reach some new people through Republic Broadcasting, which is the network we wanted to be on. And we hope that this show thrives, that the Freedom Times thrives, and that RBN thrives.
Excellent. Well, you know, what I love about the paper is that I get to get away from my desk, go sit down in a comfortable chair, and read something that's in my hand. I mean, it's a completely different experience. I'm inundated. I have very interesting, well-informed friends. My inbox never slows down, but I really love it when the paper comes and I get to sit down with the paper.
Yeah, I agree. Unfortunately, the younger generations do not read books and print publications like they used to, but some still do. So it's something that's dying out in a sense, but I don't think it'll ever die out. And, you know, the audience is always, even before the Internet, it was mostly an older audience, I think, because retired people up in years, when their kids are grown and things like that, they have more time to think about politics and the world around them and maybe, hopefully, ways they can help make it better, a better life for their own kids and grandkids. So there's always an audience. It's just a matter of maximizing it. And the reason I'm optimistic it can be done is all we have to do is look at Donald Trump. He won the vote roughly of half the country two times. So you're talking about 80 million people. That's a potential audience there. Now, that 80 million, a lot of them have a long way to go in understanding, comprehending the bigger picture. But they've at least started. They're on their way. They've been awakened to some degree. So that's the goal. You know, I mean, there's millions and millions of people to be reached out there and hopefully organized and made into a force somehow or other, because if that doesn't happen, if we're all just our little echo chambers out there like we are now, then the powers that be, they love that. You know, they'll marginalize us as much as they can, but they don't mind as long as there's still a little bit of freedom left, the First Amendment, although they'll probably smash that as soon as they think they can. But we don't have a lot of time left, Patricia, as you know. And by the way, you are a writer. You write for the Freedom Times. Don't be modest. And the new issue I'm working on now, the March issue, has an excellent article by you about the beef industry in this country. So the Freedom Times is I'm usually pretty modest, but it's a great publication, and we need to we need to turn it into the voice of the deplorables, the voice of the silent majority, because I think there is still a majority. I mean, I think there's a super majority that rejects the current occupant of the White House and the Bolsheviks that are handling him. I have no doubt in my mind, even the polls, which are unreliable, they said before the last election that three-fourths of the country was dissatisfied with the way things were going, and for darn good reasons. And yet, you know, we know what happened in the election, and as fishy as it was, and it looks like elections are rigged, at least right now, until more can be done about that. But the fact is there's a huge amount of dissatisfaction, anger, whatever you want to call it out there, and we need to tap into more of it. And that's what we're trying to do.
Awesome. You know what? The other thing I love about the paper is that I live in a very small town. You know, no, we're not even a small town. We're a micro town. There's probably only 400 people, you know, left in town. But what I get a bulk order, and I just love to take it to town. And I walk into like the senior center or the post office and stuff, and people are like thrilled to see me. Oh yeah, yeah, sure. Give me the paper. They really want to read what's going on. They feel like it's the real news that they're finally able to see.
Yeah, well, that's another thing. We have a distributor program where people can get 10 or more of each issue and give them out. I mean, they could sell them if they want to try and do that, but most, I think, just give them out. Some just leave them on car windshields or give them out to hand them out to people, or, you know, look for targets, friendly targets. And we need more of that. And see, that's one of the many things that's happened in this country that's not good since the Internet started. People do not distribute literature anymore. Very few. And I know what you're saying. I know that we have a distributor in Kansas that gets 50 of each issue. And, you know, I talk to him now and then, and he says the people there love it. They can't wait to get the next issue. So the thing is that it's the times call for patriotic Americans to do more than just be passive observers. If we're passive observers, then this country's sunk. You know, we've got to roll up our sleeves, get out of our comfort zones, and start doing a little more than what we've been doing.
Absolutely. And so let's talk about the online presence here with AmericanFreedomNews.us. You've put together an excellent aggregate site. I mean, maybe before we even go there, your roundup in the back of the paper is absolutely amazing. I don't know how you put that together every month on your intelligence report. I mean, that to me, I can read that and be up to date on what's going on in the world. I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, that seems to be the most popular section of the paper, the intelligence report, and then there's sort of an offshoot of it because I can't fit all the information actually in the intelligence report in the print issue, so I send out sort of a newsletter form of the rest of it. It's called IR 2.0, Intelligence Report 2.0, which is very cheap, like the Nationalist Times is. And I get as much information together and compact it and summarize it as best I can. And people, there's a huge thirst for that. There's no question about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, because there's so much. We're just overwhelmed with information. And to have what I want from a point of view that I agree with in one place is just immense. I just can't appreciate it any more than that.
Well, like you said too, it's good to have a newspaper in your hands. You can go back, you can read an article or two, or read the whole thing, or go back to it and reread it. You can, you know, it's just something to me that's always been superior, far superior, about an actual publication in your hands than staring at a computer screen. I mean, you know, computer screen. It's good to get the info from that too. I mean, I'm on the internet a lot. I'm not going to lie. I have to put out the Freedom Times and the Intelligence Report and to update AmericanFreedomNews.us, but there's nothing that beats having a magazine or a newspaper or a book in your hands to read it whenever you want to, as much as you want to.
Exactly. So listen, can we talk a little bit about the February intelligence report? You seem to really pick up on everything that was going on at Davos, that Davos wasn't the World Economic Forum's home run this year. There was a lot of dissension. Only 50% of people showed up that were invited. Well, what's your whole take on that?
Well, I tried to put a pretty optimistic, satirical spin on it. There was a lot more mocking of it, I think, in the alternative media. There was more attention paid to it, and there was a lot more mocking of it, of these this cast of clowns and psychopaths that, that gather and preen and consider themselves the overlords of the entire world, and they're going to transform us and do what they want with us, and, you know, have us eating bugs and not driving cars and, you know, not cooking on gas stoves and all the rest of it that we know. But eating bugs, I mean, it's just, it's insanity. But the thing is, they are very powerful. A lot of the heads of state and other prominent people in governments in the what used to be the West, the Western countries, are now WEF members. So there's an incredible amount of influence. They're still moving ahead, but there's a lot more backlash and just seeing what's going on and tying things together. And that's what I like to see, when people can see, instead of just a little segment here or this little bits and pieces, when you can start seeing the bigger picture and you can connect the dots. Because it's really not that hard once you become aware, once you you educate yourself and you can think independently and critically and outside the box a bit, it's not tough at all to see what's going on. So I tried to present that in the February intelligence report in a way, sort of in a sneering way, because, as you know, the one thing that our masters would be masters and rulers cannot stand is being made fun of, being mocked. And there's so much that can be made fun of about them, starting with Joe Biden, and Pete Buttigieg, and the rest of the clowns. So I think that's one of the best effective ways we have, instead of saying, the sky is falling, how terrible things are, just make fun of these people, because they're psychopaths, and they're also incredibly, for the most part, incredibly incompetent and buffoons. So just pointing that out is half the battle right there.
And malignant narcissists besides. And the last thing a narcissist can stand is someone challenging him and laughing at them.
Exactly.
So I have to say, we are winning the meme war. I mean, the conservatives are so amazing at putting out memes that are just cutting right to the core. I mean, that's one area we're winning.
No question. And it helps that the communists don't have a sense of humor. They never have. They never will. They're humorless, joyless, mostly soulless people. So that's why using humor, they don't want humor. They're trying to outlaw it. But using humor against them is a tremendously powerful weapon that we have.
So what do you think? Only half showed up. Could they not find enough unjabbed pilots to fly their jets and, pay their carbon tax?
I think that was part of it, for sure. And they had, 5,000 or 6,000 Swiss soldiers to guard them on some mountain, obscure mountaintop. So that shows how insecure they are. I think, they were fearful. It's obvious. It's the same way when Joe Biden gives a State of the Union, they put a wall up around the Capitol. I mean, this, how much more obvious can it be, their contempt for us and their fear of the people that they're supposed to serve? So I think that was in full display in Davos, too, half not showing, and for mostly fearful reasons.
Well, we got some music here. Is it break time? Must be break time. We'll be back. Right here, right now.
We're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
The Freedom Time News Hour, Maiden Voyage. I'm Patricia Aiken, and I'm here with Mr. Don Wassel, who is the publisher and editor of the Freedom Times and also AmericanFreedomNews.us. Don, welcome back.
Great to be back with you, Patricia, on our Maiden Voyage.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're in kind of choppy waters, uncharted waters right now, not only just in our country, but in the entire world. I don't think I've never seen it this way. And my 92-year-old neighbor, who's been in ranching all her life and is sharper than sharp, says nothing makes sense.
Well, that's right, and it keeps coming at us from all different angles all the time. One of the editorials I wrote in a recent Freedom Times was about how, if you think back, and I know you're old enough to remember, like I'm sure a lot of listeners are too, back to the days of Watergate. And you only had basically ABC, CBS, NBC, and to a degree PBS. And they had their news programs at 6 o'clock and 6:30 that so many people watched back then. That was how you got your news, that and the daily newspaper. And they were just fixated on Richard Nixon and Watergate and basically getting Nixon. And it was the lead story day after day, week after week, month after month, and literally for years. And sometimes a half or almost the entire show would be about Watergate, different aspects of Watergate. Well, look at now. I mean, the Watergate was, it's probably an overestimation to even call it child's play compared to what goes on a regular basis now. The Twitter files that were completely ignored by the so-called media that we have now, the fake news media, the corporate media, the intelligence community media. I mean, they ignored something like that, which should have rampant criminality and things that are going on all the time. There's no accountability. And even in the alternative media, we're just bombarded with, you know, what's going on in East Palestine today. Next week or this week, there'll probably be something else. And there's one thing after another. And there's no, even when the alternative media does its best to cover it, you don't have time to absorb it or do anything about it. You know, we're just bombarded. And so we have to find ways to, you know, I mean, we're in an insane country right now. The power structure is insane, and they want us to be insane, too. And one of the most important things as individuals, we have to get our sanity back, our perspective, start living life and enjoying life, even with all the terrible things that are going on around us. And but, yeah, I mean, that's, I look at this Biden administration, and they are the final result of the march through the institutions that's been going on in this country and through the West, but especially in this country over the last several generations. And they've taken over every institution. And for the purpose, what's the purpose of it? To destroy the country, to essentially reduce it down to rubble, at least metaphorically. And, of course, they think they're going to rebuild it. So they can't. Communists can only destroy. They cannot rebuild anything. Okay. I guess we're trying to get Patricia back right now, so I'll keep rambling. But, yeah, you look at the Biden administration, it's one policy after another that works against the American people. I mean, this has been going on for a long time, but now it's just on hyperdrive. It's just unbelievable the things that are going on, things that were unimaginable even a decade pre-Trump. I mean, I look at it, I mean, there's always markers throughout American history. You can go back to the Civil War and the amendments that came out of the Civil War, the beginning of the income tax and the Federal Reserve and then FDR's administration and the warfare, welfare state and the Great Society, the assassination of JFK, and which was a coup to get the deep state totally in control. So this has been going on for such a long time, but now we're seeing really what the final poisonous results are of not having a real opposition in this country to the left, to the communists, in all these years. And just now people are beginning to realize what has happened and what's at stake. So, you know, we have to put our heads together and work together, find ways to work together, and not just be tiny little outposts here and there of individuals or small groups. That's not going to work. We've got to build alliances and coalitions, broader ones. I think outside the box. I look at this establishment, the government, the establishment we have now. They're stuck in a 1945 outlook. They still wish it was the end of World War II and how wonderful that was and everything. But I think even in our own movement, if you want to call it that, we're stuck in a lot of ways too, and we need to break out and think outside the ways we've been thinking for a long time. We have to be creative, and like I said, we got to build the right coalitions and organizations, and we do have to start working together. We have to get out from behind the computer screens, start living life again, normal life, interacting with normal people out there, and try and win their trust and understand what their problems are and work with them.
Yeah, exactly. Unity is the thing they fear, and that's why they've got us divided so heavily. So heavily. We'll be back after the break, everybody. And you're listening to the Freedom Times News Hour. If anything, then there's your soul.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
That my computer connection here is kind of wonky, but I think Don's been able
to... Hello? Okay. Apparently, we're having a little trouble keeping Patricia on. Some problems there. As listeners know, the world of alternative media is not quite up to snuff yet with... the fake news media, and they're billions of dollars, but we certainly do the best we can, and we're glad to be on RBN. I just myself refilled my coffee cup. Until we get our host back, we can talk about AmericanFreedomNews.us. That is the website, the aggregation website that is updated every day with great articles, a great array of articles from the internet. They're all from the alternative media. They represent a quite wide variety of viewpoints. Most of them are what I would call populist or pro-American. Occasionally, there's some that are a little more out there. But I think the times we live in, I don't think it's smart to just adhere to it rigidly to any ideology or way of thinking. We have to be flexible. We have to be open-minded. We have to listen to other people that are sincerely motivated. I think everyone who is opposed to the New World Order, the WEF, the Great Reset, the Great Replacement, it's really incumbent upon us to try and understand and work with people, everyone, as much as possible. Because even though we have the numbers, we don't have organized numbers. You know, we're just still this alienated, isolated group of people here and there, and there's not enough working together, so we need to do that. And but of course information is important. That's a way to get people to understand, and that's certainly what we're trying to do with AmericanFreedomNews.us and the Freedom Times newspaper. One of the things I've done with the Freedom Times since the most recent election is to emphasize I've been trying to emphasize more local activism, because, let's face it, the electoral process is, it's not outright rigged. It's certainly not working in our favor, even if we have the numbers on our side. So while we don't give up on that entirely, we need to work to change things in D.C. We have to work much harder at changing things right where we live, in our neighborhood, our county, our state. And I've been informed that our host is back. Are you there, Patricia?
Sorry. Yeah, I sort of
I've been rambling. I'm glad you're back.
Oh, my gosh. I am so sorry. That's one thing. As you know, I live in the middle of nowhere, and my internet connection is not always stable, and it chose to blow up this afternoon. So I apologize for that, boss. Sorry about that. But I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, things need to change. And I think the more we focus on the problem, the more the problem enlarges. I mean, it just we give all our energy to it. I think it's time to look at solutions and do something
different. It becomes overwhelming to the point that a lot of people just won't do anything. You know, they basically curl up in the fetal position because they think.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's that deer in the headlights. I mean, to see what's coming down the pike is absolutely outrageous. So, but you know, I don't think they win. I think, you know, from a natural health point of view, what I look at is that a diseased organism, you know, can't live. I mean, it just can't live very long. And so even if they get a hold of this for a while longer, I don't think, you know, long-term it's going to work for them, that we will finally right the ship.
Well, I agree. I have times when I'm very pessimistic, but I have times when I'm optimistic too, because I know there's a lot of people out there, here, there, and everywhere, and their degree of awareness keeps increasing all the time. So, you know, we need to enhance that as best we can, and more importantly, get people outside their comfort zone and actually sacrificing a bit, you know, rolling up their sleeves, getting involved themselves, helping out financially. I mean, is, you know, the Patriot movement, if you want to call it that, has always been starved financially, and it shouldn't be that way, but it's because too many people just, they listen or they watch or they're just, they want to know what's going on, but they won't do anything beyond that. And so we've got to inspire and encourage and motivate people to do more, because if you know what's going on, but you're not doing anything yourself other than listening or maybe talking to somebody now and then or whatever, a friend or whatever, you're not helping anything, because that's the, unfortunately, the norm for most people that do know what's going on. So we have to.
Well, you know, Don, I'm really encouraged, though. The last couple of weeks with this Mr. George Allen Kelly, the rancher from Arizona, his ranch is an hour and a half from the Mexican border at Nogales. And somebody set up a GoFundMe account for him, and GoFundMe shut it down because they said, "Oh no, we don't pay bail for anyone that's accused of first degree murder," which is absolutely ridiculous, you know, in Mr. Kelly's case. So they shut that down. But GiveSendGo picked up the account. And they only put a $25,000 goal up. It's now over $300,000.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, it really is. And that story is outrageous to see, you know, what we're up against when the person that's handing down $1 million bail, which is outrageous, unconstitutional at every level, it's state constitution or a federal constitution, and they won't... And they get a 73-year-old rancher $1 million, you know, bail.
Yeah, it's in Arizona. It's in Arizona, which you think of as a conservative state, which it is. I mean, it's a very conservative state, but it's a very crooked state too. And
right.
You look at the election results there, and Kerry Lake and Blake Masters, two wonderful candidates, not perfect, but really good candidates. I mean, I have a lot of respect and admiration for both of them, and it looks like they were both screwed. And so you're dealing not only with demographic and ideological changes in these states, but you're dealing with an incredible degree of outright corruption too. So, and that's why I was saying we have to. If you live in Arizona and you want to make sure that state is not run by crooks or by the left, you know you need to get involved, and that's true of every state. And we can't take anything for granted, because they are trying to. The so-called red states, they're trying to topple them one by one, and they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, Virginia, Georgia, even North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, All these states used to be conservative. Hardcore New Hampshire, they used to all be hardcore conservative one time, and now none of them are. They're at best 50-50 or just in the pockets of the far left. So we've got to get involved. We've got to get involved locally, and this is going to keep happening. And you can't just blame, you know, the lack of a man on a white horse in Washington. It's, if your state flips, then it's your fault. You're part of the problem.
Well, you know, the Dominion voting machines have to end all that. But the thing in Arizona with this situation with Mr. Kelly, if I can go back to that since I write for Range Magazine, obviously this is near and dear to my heart, is that the Justice of the Peace isn't a judge and he isn't an attorney. He has no law degree. His name is Emilio Velasquez, I believe. And he's not even really looking at the case. This is just racially motivated to keep a white man in jail that deserves to be. Where's he going to go? He's not a flight risk. He's going to go home to his wife.
His wife has health. His wife has serious health problems, right?
Right. Yeah, he's her caregiver, and he has, you know, a ranch to run.
Right.
He's not going anywhere. He's not a flight risk. It's just heinous what's going on there. So hopefully they'll run a ballistics test. And I got a little insight from that, again, from Stuart Reeves. And I, you know, thanks, Stu, because he said that the smugglers coming across. I'm not in front of my notes now, but coming across, they actually stoned to death two of the people that they were smuggling across, the illegals that they were bringing in, and they shot a third one because they weren't paying them the $7,000 to $8,000 that they charge to bring people across, which makes me think that Mr. Kelly didn't shoot this man, that the shots he fired were well overhead. It wasn't from his gun, that it was the people that he was with that shot him. But all they have to do is a ballistics test, and can we get an honest ballistics test?
Right.
He confiscated his long guns.
Well, even if he did shoot him, it was, you know, I mean, whatever happened to self-defense, it's on his property, his house. He felt he was being menaced by this creep who'd been apparently caught and returned many times to Mexico and keeps crossing the border and getting away with it.
And besides that, Arizona's a stand-your-ground state. And to show how ridiculous it is that there was a man that killed his mother, father, sister, and 6 or 7 year old niece. He stabbed them all with a knife and actually beheaded the 6 year old. And he only got $2.5 million bail for a violent crime like that.
Yeah, when I moved to Las Vegas, I lived there for 6 years. I've mostly lived in the East. But I can remember within the first week I was there, because I'd never lived anywhere that had a heavy Mexican population, and there's a hell of a lot of good Hispanics that work hard and stuff like that, but there's definitely a criminal element there that, you know, Donald Trump talked about, one of the things that made him instantly notorious to the establishment. But I can remember within a week, I was reading stories about somebody, a drunken Mexican had taken a machete and cut, you know, his girlfriend or wife's arm off or beheaded. I can't even remember, but, you know, things like that. I mean, I started reading and hearing local stories that just blew my mind, because that didn't happen where I'd always lived before, you know. So that's, I guess, cultural enrichment. And the thing is, it's been way too much, legal and illegal. There's never been an attempt to assimilate these people. In fact, they're indoctrinated into hating the country and the people, the natives, the white Europeans are the natives, the Native Americans. So we've got the system that works from cradle to grave to make everyone that's not white hate white people and hate this country's traditions, starting with the Constitution and everything, the way of life that was the fairest way of life that any country's ever experienced. And they don't want that, because that's, if that does not fit with communism and the goals of communism. And let's face it, this is now a communist country. It's the American form of communism. It's not pure communism, I guess, if you want to call it that. It's not a bunch of people that have their little communist party cards and go to their local cadres and have secret meetings at night. It's just a shared way of thinking and the hive mind, and, you know, the way they work together almost like insects too. They just go along with the program, even the ones that don't totally believe in it. So we're dealing with a force that's very, very difficult to combat, but it's definitely there. And like I said before, Americans are finally waking up to just how far gone the country is. And now the question is, what are we going to do about it?
Yeah, well, are we going to, and what is the country? We have to define what that is, and do we really owe this government any allegiance whatsoever, or do we just need to start over? Let it collapse. I mean, they're collapsing it deliberately.
Right.
Trillions of dollars in stimulus. I was happy to see that Ken Paxton, the AG in Texas, has taken the federal government to court with a lawsuit against this. What did they call that thing? Not the stimulus, the omnibus package, and saying how illegal that was, and that wasn't done right. So, good for him. So glad to see someone.
Yeah, it's just
not
enough.
The federal government is doing some.
Yeah, there's some good. There's still 2 or 3 dozen really good congressmen. There's good attorneys general here and there, and some decent governors. But there's just not enough. And so, again, I look at it. We've got to elect our people that represent us in our communities and in our states. I mean, we just need to, and it can be done. It can be done a lot easier than trying to get somebody elected to Congress. So think globally, but act locally.
You've always had a deep interest in political science. Was that your major, a secondary major in college for you, political science?
Well, that was my major, but, I didn't, what do you do with a political science degree? I mean, even 40 years ago, it was pretty useless. So unless you want to become a teacher or a professor, which I didn't. So I just, I went to law school after that and got a law degree because not that I had a burning desire to be an attorney either, but I knew it was a good degree. It opens doors, and it made it a little easier for me to chart my own path in life and do my own thing. So, but yeah, when I was going to law school, I'd always, instead of studying, I'd sneak off to the library and read political magazines all across the political spectrum. So yeah,
Some of the best news I've seen this week is that Eastern Oregon is now trying to move to Idaho, trying to move their boundary to Idaho, and asking the state of Idaho to take them in. They call it the Greater Idaho Movement, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And so they want to move. That's the red part of Oregon, and they want to move to and have the state line drawn to the
makes
to the
total
west
sense.
Of them. So,
makes total sense if you think about it. I'm pro secession too, and I was reading something not too long ago, and the way they put it was made total sense. Think about it. You talk about countries, say in Africa, how their borders were arbitrarily drawn by the colonial powers some years back. Well, it's true of the states in this country. No border has ever changed. I mean, from the time they were drawn up, in spite of the changes. I mean, you've got the cities, the urban areas that are run by the radical left, and then you've got the countryside. And a lot of the suburbs are still normal Americans with normal traditional values. So why shouldn't, I mean, this is another thing we should be doing, getting involved in, is trying to get states drawn up, get states that represent us. That's what we have to do now. I mean, you think about ways to resist. I mean, violence isn't going to work, and I don't advocate it. I never have. People that advocate it, I think, basically, it's an excuse for why they don't do anything themselves as activists. So, yeah, we've got to get involved in all kinds of things like that. I mean, you look at Pennsylvania, where I live. You've got Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and then everything. They always say Pennsylvania is like something like Alabama outside of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, or something like. I butchered that a little bit, but I mean, there's a lot of truth to that too. It's a very conservative state outside the two major cities. So why? And you've got a movement in West Virginia some counties in Virginia, the rural counties that want to become part of West Virginia. And why not? It makes total sense. So that's one of many things that we should be thinking about and concentrating on, getting areas that we control, that we have political control of, social control of. And, that's definitely the East Oregon thing, I think, is the most advanced right now. There's one in Northern California, too. There's several around the country. Texas has always had a good secession
Oklahoma's
movement.
Oklahoma's threatening secession.
Yeah, well, they've
and
basically
that's
given...
That's all good.
They've given half of Oklahoma over to Indian tribes, so why not, I mean, it's crazy. I mean, this is, I think, the most effective way we have is secession and just trying to get our politicians, our representatives in locally, and maybe, you know, statewide and regionally, if that's possible. But, yeah, that's the way we got to think and act now. It ain't going to be done waiting for some man on a white horse, whether it's Donald Trump or anybody else.
No, and, you know, and, okay, you want to hear my big fat opinion on that?
Sure.
I think Trump is just part of warring factions. I know people love him, make America great again, they're all for him, but can you see? I mean, he was the person that set this COVID thing off. He's still pushing the kill shots. I don't get it. I remember, I never watched television, but this day I was at an assisted living facility where I was demonstrating some equipment, and I look up at the TV and I hear Donald Trump say that this was a fake pandemic. I heard him fake. It was either on CNN or Fox, one or the other, whatever was on there. And then the next thing you know, he's turning the White House over to Fauci. Really?
And Birx. Don't forget, don't leave Birx out. She was just as bad.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, so no, I know. So I think part of it is his ego. He can't admit that he did anything wrong. But, yeah, Trump, in a lot of ways, reminds me of Ronald Reagan. Talked great. He was great rhetorically, but when it came to what he actually did, and that's far more important. Yeah, he left a heck of a lot to be desired. And I just brought him out, brought his name out, because he still has a huge following. And so we got to pay attention to what's going on nationally. But, you know, look at Ron DeSantis. A lot of people think he's the savior now. But you can almost see what's going to happen. DeSantis is all – what he should do is wait till Trump runs again and either wins or loses, then it's his turn. He's only 44 years old. That's young for a politician, a governor. But he's not. He's going to run against Trump, and then they're going to tear each other up. The Republican Party is going to factionalize. And it almost guarantees that the Democrats will, even if the election is fair and free, it almost guarantees the Democrats are going to win again in 24. They're going to probably take back the House and the Senate, and they'll get their presidential nominee in. And you can just almost see it happening already. So that's another reason, just think and act locally.
I don't know. I saw DeSantis put on his tiny hat and be there at the Wailing Wall. That's all I need to know about him.
No, he's something. When he first got in there, Florida passed some kind of legislation, I think basically outlawing anyone criticism of Israel. So, yeah, he never talks about foreign policy or is never asked about it. You know, I don't know if he has his Ukraine ties and lapel pins like most of the rest of the Republicans do, but he probably does. So, yeah, he's no savior, that's for sure.
Right. So, let's go back to let's talk about the AmericanFreedomNews.us for a minute. And before we end, by the way, people can go there, and you have an awesome introductory offer for a subscription to the Freedom Times. You want to tell people about that?
Yeah, it's the same offer we make available through snail mail, and I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do it because of roaring inflation. I'm trying to keep the paper going at an affordable price, introductory price and renewal price, but it's tough to do when the true cost of inflation is what, you know, it's probably 20-25% or more, not the 6 or 8% that the government claims. But yeah, if you go there to AmericanFreedomNews.us and scroll down, go to the right column, you don't even have to scroll down, it's right there to subscribe to the Freedom Times. Got a picture of page one from the February issue. You click that and just fill it in. You can subscribe for $29. That's dirt cheap, dirt cheap, and you get something great in return worth far more than $29. Or you can scroll down a little further in the right-hand column where it says snail mail subscriptions if you want to pay by traditional mail and do that. Again, $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Please, folks, if you have any interest at all, I encourage you to do that. And, you know, help the Freedom Times, help the patriotic print press stay alive and thrive in this country.
Right. Help RBN, help the people that are getting the word out. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yep.
Absolutely. So anything we want to say about, I think the biggest story of the week is, where's Greta? You know, here East Palestine has had the biggest environmental disaster. Man-made disaster, and so yeah. Where's Greta?
Where's Pete? Where's Sleepy Joe? I mean, the fact is, the fact is that the FEMA didn't offer any assistance until hours after Donald Trump announced he was going to East Palestine to be there and meet with people. it took that to get the federal government to do anything. I don't think there's a better example of the literal hatred that the government has, this current government has for the American people, and especially Trump voters, if you want to call it that, the half or more of the country that outright rejects Brandon and his administration. I mean, what more vivid example could you need than what's happening in East Palestine? No concern whatsoever. I mean, if that was a black community or a white liberal or Jewish area, we know that the response would have been so much different. And the media has pretty much ignored it, too. So that tells you a lot, too. I mean, the media is just an arm of the system now. It's another thing we have to realize, and that's why we have to keep building alternative media. We have to build up the alternative media. They keep trying to kill it and censor it and marginalize it, but they don't. They can't, right? I mean, there's so much good alternative media out there.
I have to say a good 60% of alternative media is controlled opposition.
Well, I don't doubt that.
I'm convinced. You don't agree?
Well, but let me qualify that then to support the legitimate alternative media, because yeah, you're right. I mean, there's no doubt that there's all kinds of disinformation. When they talk about disinformation, they're trying to delegitimize alternative media as well. So yeah, there's no question about that. So people have to discern what's legitimate and what isn't, and support what is legitimate. Otherwise, it's not going to exist. I mean, the way the Great Resets, they keep moving ahead on it. They're going to push it. So pretty soon, yeah, they're not going to allow any dissent or opposition views. So please support us.
All right. John, thank you so much. You've been listening
to
the Freedom Times News Hour. Well, look forward to seeing you next week.
Okay. I enjoyed our maiden voyage.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.